Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty today. And boy, oh boy, we got a lot going on. We got a Tuesday night doubleheader in the NFL. We got the famous Idaho Potato Bowl going on right now on ESPN. And Amber, as I live and breathe, I didn't think I would get to a moment where I saw not one but two teams in Kent State and Wyoming who decided to play football on a blue field, both wearing the same shade of yellow pants. It is a very interesting visual right now.
They have the same stylist.
It's so awkward when people show up, you walk into the same party and you see someone wearing like the same jacket or the same outfit here. What are you supposed to do? No one's going to go home and change.
Nope, you just have to rock it. You just have to stick with it. And so now they're sticking with it and you're watching it and your brain's hurting.
It is. It looks like my TV is like had its color distorted here, but this is what you commit to. This is bowl season in all its perfect imperfections, like John Legend would say. And that's why we rock with it here. It's the same reason we are looking forward to in some sick way tonight, a football doubleheader in the NFL on Tuesday night, as we will get a host of NFC teams looking to still keep their playoff hopes alive in Seattle, Los Angeles, Washington, and Philadelphia. And to help us clear up the NFL's postseason picture as we go down the stretch here, we head to the Goodyear hotline to talk to ESPN NFL writer Kevin Seifert, who joins us now, has a great article up on ESPN.com taking a look at that playoff picture. And Kevin, I think starting with this weekend, we saw the New Orleans Saints get a big-time win over the Buccaneers, the first shutout for Tom Brady since 2006. With their remaining schedule, are they all but a lock to represent the NFC in one of those wild card spots?
There's been about five different times when I thought a team was going to be a lock to do something this year, and something crazy has happened, or they have gone out and done what Tampa did the other day and do something we certainly didn't expect, and that's lose a game everyone thought they were going to win. And now with the COVID surge the NFL's facing, I mean, you're seeing teams starting third-string quarterbacks and changing the outcome of games. So I guess all that's to say, with the strong caveat of there being complete and total chaos in the NFL right now, if things remain somewhat equal, I think the Saints are right there. The Vikings didn't look very good last night, but in terms of their standing, they have a decent shot. If Washington wins tonight, they'll be still fighting for that seventh spot. But certainly, based on the way what we saw from New Orleans' defense, that's probably the best, at least half of a team of all those teams that are competing for those NFC that final NFC wildcard spot.
So, Kevin, let's say there is, in fact, total chaos. Washington wins tonight. That ruins the Saints' chances of getting in. If I made you choose between these three teams, because I think in terms of tonight, we all think that the Rams are in. So the other three teams vying for a spot here in Washington, the Eagles and the Seahawks, out of those three teams, who do you believe in the most in terms of getting into the postseason?
I mean, the Eagles' schedule is pretty easy. I believe it's like the third or fourth easiest schedule according to Football Power Index left in the NFL for the final 3 weeks. They'll play a third string quarterback or really a fourth string quarterback tonight. I think they have the Giants left, and then they'll play whoever the quarterback is there, and then we'll see who Washington gets back for their final game between the Eagles and Washington. So in terms of just like who's got it laid out in front of them, the easiest of the teams you just mentioned, the Eagles are a strong contender there.
Ken Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN NFL writer Kevin Seifert. Kevin, let's look at the AFC North, because now that the Pittsburgh Steelers got a win this weekend, they have crept back into the picture a little bit. When it all sorts out, are we getting multiple teams from this division making the postseason?
Oh, man, I don't know about that. Buffalo is still, I think they're a better team than pretty much anybody in the AFC North right now, in terms of competing for that wild card, and they're not in there. You look at the Chargers, you look at, some of the other competitors. Cleveland, who knows how long it's going to take them to recover from that, from this COVID craze, if they can at all, from the surge that they faced. The Bengals, I think, you know, have a pretty good chance to still end up winning this division. And we'll see if the Ravens can hold on. The Ravens have had so many injuries, you know, not even, you know, knock on wood, COVID. So I'd say there's a decent chance of that. But just given the volatility of those teams and especially Baltimore in terms of the and Cleveland in terms of their personnel, it's going to be something tight to watch.
Kevin, we got some pretty bad football last night, and I'm not sure rescheduling that Raiders-Browns game really amounted to much or really helped. And in fact, you could argue that maybe it ends up hurting the Browns because even though they got a few players back, they didn't get enough players back, and now they're in a shortened week before they go face the Packers. You have an article right now on the .com about how the NFL is navigating this Omicron variant. Do you think that this rescheduling concept that they've kind of switched to is a good one? How do you feel the NFL is handling this?
Well, I think this rescheduling thing was just like a one-week triage while they try to get their hands around how Omicron is going to work, if they can get their hands around it and how it's not. I don't know that they thought that a bunch of players would necessarily test out of the protocols that quickly, but they just had such an uncontrolled spread in the facility of those three teams that were affected that they felt the only fair thing to do was to push it back, so that when those teams eventually got back into their facilities, they would have at least a day or two to condition and to get ready for the game, and just from a health and safety standpoint to give themselves a chance to go out and play. But what we're seeing now, you know, even though the NFL has made it harder to test positive because they reduced the amount of tests and easier to get back once you're in the positive protocols, it hasn't necessarily followed that everybody that there's a lot less people getting consumed in these protocols. There were actually more people who tested positive yesterday than a week ago Monday when the surge actually started. You know, you saw it, the Browns didn't get their coach or their quarterbacks back. Washington didn't get their quarterbacks back today. On the other hand, Odell Beckham got back in 4 days. I think Jalen Ramsey maybe in 6 for the Rams. So in some cases, we're seeing people get back faster, and in some cases, it's not necessarily going to be any faster. So in terms of how the NFL is handling it, I think they're just trying their best to catch up to the speed of the surge here and following the best advice that they can find. You can see from the other sports that no one really seems to have a great answer right now. I think it's very possible that from what we've seen this week, that they may not turn to rescheduling as quickly as they did, because they've now got a little bit of a better handle on how to at least track the spread in the team facilities, and it's not as if it allowed players to get back any faster necessarily either. So, long story short, I think they're going to keep evolving as it goes on. But I think this is going to be a weekly thing that is going to determine, in some cases, the outcomes of games, the identity of playoff teams, and possibly even the Super Bowl championship winner. And that's something we all have to kind of get our hands around, because I don't think it's going to go away in a couple weeks.
It is a difficult thing to try and get our hands around. And Kevin, we appreciate you giving it the old college try and attempting to do so for the rest of us mere mortals. Thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Okay, thanks for having me.
Kevin Seifert, our ESPN NFL writer, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier. With more than 30 coverage options available, Progressive has you covered. More at progressivecommercial.com. As he mentioned there, per ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, Garrett Gilbert will be the starting quarterback for the Washington football team tonight against the Eagles. Neither Taylor Heinicke nor Kyle Allen was able to test out of the protocol, even with that extra time. So while they remain on the COVID-19 list, Garrett Gilbert, who has signed off New England's practice squad, will be going up against the Philadelphia Eagles in a game we just heard Kevin describe as one with a massive impact on the NFC wildcard race down the stretch of this season. But coming up next, let's take a look at the other leagues trying to handle this now. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said something stunning about the NBA's golden property, why the Christmas Day games may not be out of the woods yet. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm going to go ahead and say something that might be a little controversial after yesterday, Amber. We did a Christmas list, and we'll continue to do our Christmas list here. We're making them and checking them twice all week here on Canty and Golic Jr., taking you up to Christmas. We did Christmas songs yesterday, our favorites. I got to say, I think we're making better Christmas music now than we ever have.
What? Like,
I understand that there are a lot of classics that have stood the test of time here, but I've sat around all day listening to Kelly Clarkson's recently released Christmas album. I have the Sia Christmas album from the last couple of years on constant repeat here. That is before we get to Michael Bublé, who I said basically only exists during the holiday season. I think we might be making better Christmas songs now.
But like the Michael Bublés of the world, or at least according to your list, he is singing a classic. Like, this is a classic that he's singing, right? So, like, does that count? Those are still classics. The difference, Mariah Carey, to me, is the one singer who was able, in kind of the new age, and by new age, I still mean multiple decades ago at this point, but who was able to, at least she was the first one in that time period, who I felt like was able to come out with an actual, totally original song, and then it became an instant classic. That ain't easy to do. There's all sorts of singers who've sung the classics very well and maybe better than the originals, but actually coming out with an original song. Now, I do know Kelly Clarkson has some original Christmas songs.
Some heaters.
I heard them in passing on my streaming radio. They do slap at times. I'm not going to lie.
That's what I'm saying. Like the old ones, they're good. They're like a lot of the old Christmas movies. They deserve a place in canon. But this slaps. And are we not just looking for stuff that slaps?
It's good. I have to hand it to her.
I mean, just a set of golden pipes. So Kelly Clarkson, who, by way of Chinne Igwumike, friend of the show, since Chinne was part of this show here, since she went on Kelly Clarkson, so I'm going to make her friend of the show. Outstanding addition to Christmas canon, and I will hear it no further.
Can you have friends of the show who actually haven't appeared on your show, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can
make all sorts of friends of the show.
I mean, I feel like that's like knighthood, right? Like the queen can knight whoever she wants. Like, I'd imagine you could at this point, especially given the current state of the world, these unprecedented times, I'm sure you could just mail out knighthood all willy nilly.
All right, I'll take your word for it. I'm not very familiar with how knighthooding works, but sure.
I'm not either, which is why I can take liberties with it. By the way, Kelly Clarkson being a friend of the show is Breaking Moves.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Imagine Kelly Clarkson somewhere like getting word of this and being like, I'm a friend of what?
Listen, I love the idea that like maybe Kelly Clarkson is riding around listening to Sirius XM radio and in between bouts of listening to herself on Sirius XM Holly, which is a delight right now. Maybe she skips past ESPN radio and hears this and goes, huh, maybe I'll take a listen to Amber Wilson and Mike Golic Jr. on Canty and Golic Jr.
Thanks for tuning in, Kelly.
We appreciate you, Kelly. You're amazing. Please call us anytime. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, Adam Silver, I would also consider a friend of the show. He's never been on the program. He has been on NBA Today, however. He joined Malika Andrews and the crew over on that show to talk about these uncertain times as the NBA nears their golden goose. The NBA day that we have marked off on the calendar is Christmas Day. We talk about the NFL and Thanksgiving. The NBA has its holiday, and it is usually a fantastic slate of games. One that, remember, last year during the pandemic, they fought very hard to make sure that the league had on time, that the league played those games, much to the dismay of some of the members of the NBA Players Association. And so the NBA and Christmas Day are synonymous. That's why when Adam Silver goes on NBA Today and mentions contingency plans up to and including the Christmas Day games, all of our ears stood at attention. Here he was.
We need to talk for a few hours to talk about the contingencies. So, yes, I mean, I would say beginning from the day we initially shut down the league, in March of 2020, we've done nothing but look at contingencies. So, of course, we always have those. But at least as of now, our plan is to move forward, not just for the Christmas Day games, but there are another roughly 23 games scheduled between now and Christmas. And, every day is a new day. We get the overnight testing. We look where we are in terms of our rosters and make our decisions. But at least, as I said, it seems for us that the right and responsible thing to do, taking all the factors into consideration, is to continue to play.
And Amber, that's kind of where we landed as we talked about the NFL's rescheduling, that as well-intentioned as it is to move some of these games, what it ultimately accomplishes remains to be seen.
Well, the problem is that right now, obviously, this variant, and maybe the Delta as well, but obviously right now we're in a surge again of COVID. And if it's spreading like wildfire, then taking some games off or rescheduling games isn't going to prohibit that, because what you're doing then is you're just providing an opportunity for other players to come down with COVID. And so then you have a whole nother set of problems, even if it's not the original players, because now they've recovered. And it feels like that could go on right now during this surge for months. So there's no easy answer here. But hitting the pause button, I don't think accomplishes anything. I do think right now it's going to be a tricky conversation with the NFL moving forward, because even though the NFL has more time between games, we're seeing these games be very, very affected, and they're at the end of their season. We're about to head into the playoffs. That's very problematic. We might be having an entirely different conversation by the time we get there in the summer with the NBA. But right now with the NBA, we have so much of the regular season left that they don't necessarily feel the need to do anything but go ahead and play games. I do wonder, is this surge possibly going to die down? That's kind of what we've seen through the pandemic so far, right? Like, it goes in waves, like a lot of viruses do. So the NBA might find itself in a better situation, frankly, than the NFL is finding itself in terms of the end of its season, a playoff picture, and a championship possibly being affected by this.
Kanny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. One thing we did hear about where the NBA is at with the virus right now, Adam Silver told Malika Andrews that the Omicron variant constitutes 90% of the league's cases right now and is, quote, beyond dominant. Here is Adam Silver when asked the question about the potential pause for the NBA season earlier on NBA Today.
No plans right now to pause the season. We've, of course, looked at all the options, but frankly, we're having trouble coming up with what the logic would be behind pausing right now as we look through these cases. Literally ripping through the country right now, putting aside the rest of the world. I think we're finding ourselves where we sort of knew we were going to get to for the past several months, and that is that this virus will not be eradicated, and we're going to have to learn to live with it. And I think that's what we're experiencing in the league right now.
And this seems to be the conversation that I think is going to be had throughout, you know, pro sports and a number of other industries, which is, all right, in the face of something that's not going away anytime soon, how do we start to adjust, make more common sense policies around this and ensure that we can get off the safest season, the safest way of life humanly possible in this spot, understanding that, like Adam Silver said, logistically there may not be a right answer to this. So we will have plenty of time to get into more of this as Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, joined NBA Today earlier, talked to Malika Andrews and company. We will have plenty more sound on that front. But coming up next, we start to get a little bit of that belief, a little bit of belief in Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles down the stretch of this season. We will head out to the man who knows after we tell you about Man in the Arena. Now, join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady's meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena. It's a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Tom Brady's career. Things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, and even fate. And one of those ripple effects got Chris Caney a Super Bowl ring, which is dope. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Back with Sal Palantonio next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kanny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson were presented by Progressive Insurance. And as you heard in that SportsCenter update from Christine Lisi, Garrett Gilbert will be getting the start for the Washington football team. This after the report from ESPN's Sal Palantonio that none of the 16 players on the team COVID list passed the COVID test taken last night to be cleared to play against the Philadelphia Eagles. For more on that, we go to the Goodyear hotline to talk to our friend Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter. And Sal, with that news, is it safe to say that while admirable in delaying this game and pushing it back to try and help the Washington football team, they've ultimately gained no advantage here heading into Tuesday night?
I don't think they gained much advantage, Michael. I really don't. I mean, they got some defensive players back over the weekend, for sure. That's going to help them. But, you know, starting Garrett Gilbert, who only started one game last year, in his one game in his career when he was with Dallas against Pittsburgh, and he played pretty well. And I talked to Ron Rivera as he came off the bus here at Lincoln Financial Field, and, you know, he said what he was supposed to say to me. He's got tremendous confidence in him. They were together in Carolina. He knows Scott Turner's system. And, you know, Scott Turner's system is hut, hut, ball out. And we're going to try to run the ball as much as we possibly can with Antonio Gibson. You know, in terms of volume in their run game, they have the seventh most carries, rushing attempts going into this weekend. So they're going to hand the ball off to Antonio Gibson and try to hold on for dear life here, Mike.
Now, apparently seven coaches, is that right, on their coaching staff are also going to be out for tonight's game. How much of an effect do you think that missing so many coaches is going to have?
You know, I think it's pretty significant. Certainly, when you have that many coaches and you have that much upheaval on your coaching staff on the sideline, clearly there'll be communications issues and chain of command issues. But, you know, the bottom line is if Garrett Gilbert doesn't turn the football over, they'll have an opportunity to be in this football game. These teams always play tough, rumble-in-the-jungle games down here in South Philly. You know, even though the line has exploded and the Eagles are heavily favored, in the last 10 meetings have been decided by five or fewer points. So, you know, they doesn't matter who's playing, doesn't matter who's coaching. It's the Washington team against the Philly team, and I'm looking right now at I-95 and the confluence of the Schuylkill Expressway. We're in a concrete jungle here. You know, we're going to double chin strap this thing, and they're going to play some football.
Talking to Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL reporter from the concrete jungle. I know Sal Pal is going to be double chin strapped up for every portion of this heading into tonight. And Sal, we talk so much about the teams that have struggled down the stretch here to get bodies on the field. Let's look at Philadelphia on the other side. They're coming off a bye.
Yep.
You had Gardner Minshew start in place of the injured Jalen Hurts last week and do pretty well. But where are the Eagles with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback now and looking towards the future heading to this week?
Yeah, let's start with now, because, you know, all that other stuff is sort of old news, you know, in terms of the COVID list. The news here is right now, the pressure's on Jalen Hurts in this football game. But let's not mince words. You got a team, you're heavily favored at home, coming off a bye. The opposition is severely depleted. You know, Amber just laid it out, all those coaches are gone. You're starting the third-string quarterback who's got one NFL start. The pressure, Michael, is on Jalen Hurts in this game. He can't come out like he did in the first half against the Giants at MetLife Stadium and throw it to the other jersey. He had two first-half interceptions. If that happens tonight, I'm not advocating for Jalen Hurts to be benched. I'm not saying that that's even on Nick Sirianni's mind, but he would not be out of line if he seriously considered going to Garden Minshew, if Jalen Hurts could not respond to the pressure, A, or could not run with full tilt, run with complete abandon on that ankle that has been bothering him since the Giants game. Remember, he hasn't played football in 24 days. He only came off the injury report on Friday as a full participant. So I'm really anxious to see how the ankle responds, how he leads this number one in the league rushing attack, how he throws the football. I mean, this is a game where all eyes will be on number one, no question.
So from some potentially good news there for the Eagles, if Jalen Hurts looks good on that ankle. But, Sal, it wasn't all good news because tackle Andre Dillard was placed on that reserve COVID-19 list. He joined lineman Landon Dickerson, who was placed on it on Sunday. How much are some of these losses for the Eagles? I mean, they don't look like the Washington football team in terms of COVID, but they have some of their own losses as well. How much is that going to affect things?
Well, Amber, I think you hit on it. I mean, to me, the number one loss for Philly is Landon Dickerson, the starting left guard, the rookie out of Alabama. You know, many people didn't even think he was going to be able to play this year at all because he was coming back from the knee surgery that he suffered in the championship game at Alabama. But he has been a bright light, and he has really helped this offensive line mold into a very dominant unit. And he's not playing in this game at left guard. Sua Ojeda is going to play in his place. Huge loss. And again, yes, it is good news that Jalen Hurts is back, but I want to see how he can run, and I want to see that he is productive in the passing game. Remember, he's seventh from the bottom in quarterback rating in the NFL right now. And the quarterbacks that are below him, the six quarterbacks underneath him in the rankings are four rookies and two guys on the bench. So, you know, you're missing Landon Dickerson, and there's a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts in this game, a lot.
Going to be a wild one to watch tonight. The concrete jungle, double chin strapped up. Sal Powell is going to have him ready to go. You know it's going to be a great game when Sal Powell Antonio is on the scene. We appreciate you as always, my friend. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Michael, when I walk through the parking lot to the media gate, I got my head on a swivel every game, baby.
Always got your head on the swivel there. ESPN NFL reporter Sal Powell Antonio, ever vigilant here. You're never going to blindside Sal Powell. You're going to have
stay
to take
ready.
Him on. Helmet screws right in the front, Amber.
You always stay ready, right?
Oh, man. Who isn't fired up after that one? Coming up next, if that doesn't get the blood flowing enough, then allow Amber and I to make yet another Christmas list for you that is sure to spark some holiday cheer and jeers from the crowd. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Amber, when I told you that we're making Christmas songs better than ever right now,
this is it.
Little John is a big reason why.
I'm with you.
I wonder if the East Side Boys get in on any of this stuff anymore. I wonder whatever happened to them.
I'm a little ashamed that neither of us had this on our list of best Christmas songs yesterday.
I got you, Amber.
We may have to run that one back at some point here with this notable omission.
I mean, I am hyped for Christmas.
Punch Christmas in the face!
This is like Sal Powell's energy from last segment, by the way.
I always say that Christmas is one big defense mechanism against holiday and like seasonal depression. This song's punching seasonal depression in the face, dragging it out there and behind the docks, and just absolutely, like Sal Powell said, concrete jungle, two chin strap song, Amber.
I'm down in Florida. If you have seasonal depression in Florida, it's a real problem because we only have one season.
That is true. You're in real trouble for the entire year. But that being said, it is a very lit holiday season right now. And in honor of Christmas week here and Canty and Golic Jr. with Amber Wilson, we decided we wanted to be like Santa, make a list and check it twice and find out exactly what's at the heart of the holiday season for us. We did our favorite top five Christmas songs yesterday, and we decided to go down the next step today. Canty and Golic Jr.'s top five holiday snacks and drinks. Amber, as always, you as our guest, why don't you start it off here? What do we got?
Well, we actually did top four Christmas songs yesterday, remember? Because our producer Shannon had proposed the old top four list. I slid in an extra and gave you a top five. Today, we're doing a legitimate top five. I'm a little bit more comfortable with that.
You bullied him into it.
I bullied him into it, so sorry about that, Shannon. Kicking things off here at number five. Holiday popcorn. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like the popcorn that comes. I mean, you can get all the different flavors, but like the, you know, you get like at holidays, often it's coated in chocolate or chocolate and peppermint.
I was
or
just
going to
say
caramel.
That chocolate
you can get the
coating.
Cheddar. Yes.
Oh.
That type, the candy popcorn. Excellent That's stuff.
A beautiful beginning to this list, by the way, Amber. Wow.
Number four. Now, this is top holiday snacks and drinks, which throws a caveat into this whole list. I'm sure that it will probably be very controversial of us to include drinks in this list. I'm kicking things off in terms of drinks with a peppermint or gingerbread latte.
Ooh.
That's the go-to this time of year, particularly if you're, you know, a Starbucks fan. If you like to overpay for your coffee, peppermint, gingerbread lattes, they are thebomb.com. I am one who has been known to. Also, I'd say honorable mention here, like an Irish coffee, which is a spiked coffee, coffee with whiskey in it.
Hell yes. I can say the more booze we can introduce into the situation, the better in this one. Totally with you.
Always. Sticking in drinks categories here, eggnog. You could also spike some eggnog. Throw a little rum in there.
I will confess, Amber, I've never had eggnog.
What?
Not once.
What is that about?
Wait, what?
It's just full record scratch on me here. I've never seen what the appeal is. It seems strange.
The appeal is it's amazing. Hey, wait, hold on. You, out of all people who will eat like every food item on planet Earth, eggnog is where we drew the line?
Yeah, listen, I didn't have yogurt until I was 23, so things of this texture kind of grossed me out for a while.
We don't even have time to get into this issue. Number two for me. Christmas cookies, because, of course.
Oh, yeah, this is no-brainer.
And number one. Hot cocoa, hot chocolate, if you will, in any form. I mentioned I'm down here in Florida. I don't get many opportunities to consume hot chocolate. This would be the time of year. We're doing a whole hot cocoa bar for the kids tonight.
Ooh.
Excellent treat. Excellent
treat. Oh, the hot cocoa bar. Chef's kiss. This is important. Marshmallows or whipped cream as the primary topping?
We have both as an offering. I'm not a huge whipped cream person, actually. Huh. I would probably choose marshmallows over whipped cream, but you could do it all.
All right, listen, everyone's got their flaws, Amber. I understand that. You just happen to opt for the lesser topping here. That's not your fault. It's a great list. Very liquid heavy on this one. We'll see if I follow suit. Number five. Here on Canty and Golic Jr.'s top five holiday snacks and drinks, I want to start off with candy canes.
Classic.
A timeless classic, my favorite pastime, hanging them on my tree and picking them off one by one, day by day.
But do you actually enjoy consuming them? Because I feel like they look prettier than they taste.
Well, I enjoy it until they get sharp, and then you're in the danger zone here. Then you really got to worry about things.
Do you start hook end, or do you go the other end?
I go the long end and work to the hook, and then when I get down to the horseshoe, I throw it all in the mouth. Throw the whole horseshoe
mouth guard
in there.
Mouth guard
yes.
style. I like
mouth
it.
Guard status there. Safe. Number four.
My alarm is going off in the background there.
Caught you mid-bite. Number four, gingerbread cookies. I think it is a very limited time of year where we can consume these things and it's socially acceptable. I think gingerbread's incredible, Amber.
I appreciate that you went specific type of cookie. I cheated a little bit by just going like blanket Christmas cookie category. You went gingerbread. I like it. Solid cookie.
Big fan of gingerbread, the houses that they make. Although I'm more a fan of a gingerbread home because that's where the family and the heart is. Number three.
That was touching.
A little Christmas spirit in there for everyone. Why not? Amber, you mentioned the liquids involved in all this. I'm going to get to at the heart of what I think was at yours, coffee in the Christmas cups. You mentioned Starbucks. As soon as I see the green and red holiday cups busted out, that's when I know it's really Christmas.
That's when it is Christmas. That's when Christmas is in the air. Again, I mean, down here in Florida, I don't have much else in the air to signify Christmas. But Starbucks cups, that'll do it.
That is the real deal. Number two here. All peppermint chocolate. Amber, my favorite flavor of ice cream is mint chocolate chip. I am routinely
what?
Raked
Matt,
over the coals
too.
For that. Oh, real? Oh, my God. I was worried you were going to go off. Oh, yes.
Did we just become best friends?
Yup. Do you want to go drink hot chocolate in the garage?
We should. I don't know anybody else whose favorite is mint chocolate chip. I love that.
Man, see, and you know what? Now let's really bring this home for number one. Because I looked at Amber's list and I saw, all right, the Irish coffee on there, eggnog that you can spike. Her hot cocoa has with Bailey's in parentheses there. So number one, I just cut out the middleman. It's booze. My favorite pastime, we have a Christmas Eve party every year with our friends, the Perianos, and I'm going to go over there and probably have myself a few adult sodas, maybe a little champagne to toast on Christmas Eve. I don't know, Amber, whatever the mood strikes.
Some like peppermint mocha, whatever, some martinis you could throw in there. I'm sure there's some fanciful Christmas martini. Yes, there's all sorts of opportunities around the holidays to consume booze in every form, and I'm absolutely here for it as well.
And you mentioned you're down in South Florida, so not as dire, but up here in Connecticut where it's very cold, I warm myself from the inside out. at AmberW790, at Mike Golic Jr. Give us your top five holiday snacks and drinks. Coming up next, we will look at the NFL, NBA, and NHL response to COVID-19.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.